Our scripture reading for this morning is the ninth chapter of the Gospel according to John. This is the account of Jesus healing a blind man. And as you will discover, this is not just a story about Jesus healing somebody. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It's him." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes that he opened." He said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "Well, what did he say to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you won't listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we're disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And they answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when they found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we're not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." I've had glasses now for 50 years. When I was 10 years old, my teacher had discovered that I was squinting at the blackboard and not able to see things that were written, that were up front, things that you would normally expect to see. And so they sent me to the school nurse, and the school nurse did a quick eye exam and said, "Yeah, he needs glasses." So we went off to the optometrist, and they did an exam, and then went back and got my glasses. And I'll never forget sitting in the living room and looking at the bookcase at the opposite end of the living room, and I was able to see the individual books. That was quite a thing. But you know, my relationship with my glasses for the first year or so was rather rocky. At the time, I mean, I don't think it's the case now, and of course a lot of people wear contacts. A kid that wore glasses was a target of teasing, and I certainly was. I was also a small kid and wasn't athletic, so I had several strikes against me. And subconsciously, I decided that I was going to try to not wear my glasses to school. And after two or three times of hearing on the PA system, "Will Craig Cowling please come down to the office and get his glasses?" As my mother had driven him to the school, I thought, well, all right, this isn't working, so I guess I'm just going to have to suck it up and wear the glasses. So I did. And I've had them ever since. But I still remember that moment when I was able to see so clearly. And probably, I assume, when I was younger, and I don't remember, that I was perhaps able to see, but of course my eyes got worse. And those of you that know other members of my family know that everybody has glasses. It's just part of being in my family. So we read about sight in this story of Jesus healing a blind man. But there is a lot more in this story going on than just Jesus healing somebody, as we'll find out. Probably, I think most of us realize that blindness is something to which there are varying degrees. I would imagine at the time of Jesus that I probably would be considered a blind person. There's not a whole lot that I can do without my glasses. And I know that some of you have different eye issues, and you know what it's like to not be able to see and to have lenses, and sometimes other things go on as well. You know how difficult it is. But in the ancient world, it seems as though blindness became sort of an either-or thing. Either you were whole, as in you could see perfectly well, reasonably well, or you were blind, which meant you couldn't see anything. And at this time in human history, illness, and this, of course, still happens today, illness can isolate people or physical conditions. And you can imagine that if you were blind or if you had really bad eyesight, which may actually have been the case with this man, we don't know, that it would be a very isolating thing. Stop and think what happens if you can't see or can't see very well. In our society today, it means you couldn't drive a car. If your eyesight is bad enough and you really are really blind, it's even hard to get around. And this was even more so in the ancient world because there weren't cures for this sort of thing. So the world was often seen in black and white. It was often seen in contrasts. And this is a way of looking at the world that we find a lot of in John. In John's gospel, Jesus often speaks in terms of contrast between light and darkness, between good and evil, spirit and flesh, life and death. All these contrasts are just threaded all the way through John's gospel. And in particular, light, of course, being the thing that enables us to see. There are a number of times in John's gospel where light is referred to. Jesus, in this text, refers to himself as the light of the world. And darkness was a metaphor also for sinfulness, that people who do evil things do it in the darkness when they can't be seen. And the children of God live in the light. So there we are with how light was viewed. And there are a couple of things about the story that come out pretty obvious. One actually may not be so obvious. One thing is the people that Jesus is dealing with. He's the Pharisees. Some of the Pharisees are there. And in John's gospel, they're referred to as the Jews, which you don't see as much in the other Gospels. There's a reason for this. John's Gospel is the last out of the Gospels to be written. It's quite a bit later than the other three Gospels, probably written about the year 100, give or take. By this time, the split between Judaism and Christianity, as it was beginning to form, was very much in place. And this is after the time of the temple when there were different orders of priesthood. So we find that the Pharisees are referred to most often because the Pharisees did survive the destruction of Jerusalem. And increasingly, the Christian church was becoming Gentile, in other words, non-Jews. The first Christians, of course, most of them were Jews. And those who were born as Jews were beginning to feel this division between Christianity and Judaism. Although they didn't call it Christianity at the time, those Jews still saw themselves as Jews. And they began to be cast out of synagogues. In other words, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you can't be a part of our community of faith anymore. So this is a layer of understanding that permeates the story. So when we hear about the man being questioned by the clergy, and in this passage, when you hear, and in other passages in John, when you hear the phrase, the Jews, just think of the clergy. That's just really what they're referring to. Because by this time, when people are reading and hearing John's gospel, most Christians are Gentiles. They're not Jewish. And the Jewish faith becomes alien to them. And it's written almost as if the Jews were just the Pharisees and Jesus and his disciples and all the other people that are involved in this story are not Jews, which of course they were. So that's the reason that the story is written the way it is. That's an important thing. There's another thing to keep in mind too, and that is the general view that people had of illness and infirmity. Not only that it was permanent, because they did see it as permanent, but they saw it as the result of sin. So the disciples asked Jesus. And there's a backstory here, because we don't know. I mean, Jesus wouldn't have known that this guy was born blind. Neither would his disciples. So there's got to be a little bit of a backstory here that we just don't know. So they asked Jesus, well, somebody had to sin for this guy to be born blind, right? I mean, God doesn't just do stuff by accident. The view is that sin leads to suffering. And we still hear it today. People will sometimes, when a family member has developed a cancer, let's say, or another illness, they'll say, but they're such a good person. He never did anything to hurt anybody. Why would this happen to him? We still tend to think like this. Please, for your own sake, don't think like that. Really, it's not healthy. God doesn't punish people by making them sick. You heard it here first. God doesn't punish people by making them sick or infirm. Our bodies are imperfect, as we all well know. And things don't always work the way that we think that they're supposed to. That's why people get sick, not because God thinks that they're bad people. But this is what they thought at the time. So that's the natural question. Jesus' answer, it may sound like, well, God made him that way so that I could heal him. But I think what he's really about is, forget about all that stuff. That viewpoint has gone past its expiration date. It's just not valid. Instead, here is an opportunity to show the grace of God by my healing this man. That's what this is about. So the man is healed. And there he is. People at the time saw the world as static. They didn't understand the idea of creation continuing to unfold, as we know now through science, that our world is not just static, it continues to evolve. We continue to evolve. Although because of the time frame we're in, that evolution that happens is extremely slow. It takes generations, thousands of years for things to change. But we're just a little bit different from our ancestors from, say, 10,000 years ago. I would like to think maybe that we're just new and improved. Although sometimes when you look at the stuff that people do, you wonder if we've ever learned anything in the history of civilization. The thing that throws the Pharisees is that they are accustomed to pigeonholing people. He was a blind man. He was born blind. He is always going to be blind. God made him blind because he was a sinner or his parents were sinners. And there's nothing that can be done. And then Jesus comes along and heals the man. Don't you hate it when people don't fit into those stereotypes? We all have stereotypes and expectations, and somebody comes along and they just blow the top right off of it. That's what Jesus is doing here. What this is about, this story is about discipleship, and it's about the grace of God. Grace is the strength that God gives us to do what we cannot do on our own. That's a working definition of grace. It's the strength that God gives us to do what we can't do on our own. When people heard this story, especially Jews who had become Christians and had experienced being excommunicated, they understood. But this story is not anti-Semitic. This is not about the Jews being bad. This is simply about these two families of faith with a common source dividing over a difference in beliefs. So this is about discipleship, and it's about sight. And about sight in particular, that gets us into trouble. When we see with the eyes of faith, if we just don't accept the world for the way it is, and we see with the eyes of faith, we begin to see that the world is not the way that God wants it to be. And we begin to see what it is that people do that is contrary to the grace of God. And unfortunately, religion tends to get dragged into that. When religion is used, and this is any religion, whether we're talking about Islam, Judaism, Christianity, whatever, it doesn't matter. When religion is used to hurt or exclude people, which it often is, especially in this country, Christianity, the Christian faith, is used to hurt and to exclude people, then it has failed. If anybody's religion tells them that it's okay to hate or to disregard or to devalue people. They need a new religion. What Jesus is demonstrating is the grace of God that comes to us as we become disciples. And the word discipleship appears in this text. The clue to the whole chapter here is the question that the man who was healed, and we don't know his name, when he asked the Pharisees, "Well, why are you asking me all these questions? Do you want to be his disciple too?" It's about discipleship. But discipleship is not always easy and neat and clean. Sometimes discipleship is disturbing. One of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis is about happiness in the Christian faith. And he commented once that Christianity is not about happiness. It's not about making me happy. He said, "A bottle of port can make me happy." But that's not what the Christian faith is about. Sometimes what we see disturbs and upsets us because we know that people are treated at times as if they are not beloved of God. And that's the bottom line here. The healing of this man who is just simply a beggar at the side of the road, people walk by, throw a nickel into his pot, and then not even think about him. He too is beloved of God. He too has just as much value as any other human being. And he too has the ability to become a disciple of Christ because he already has within him everything that he needs. And each one of us is the same way. We already have within us everything that we need to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. That comes from the grace of God. As disciples, we are called into the light of faith to see the world as it is, but also to see the world as it should be. Troubled as it is, but still beloved of God. Amen.